Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam. Today we're talking about Marianne Williamson's A Return to Love and Sophie. I have to ask, what hit you first when you read this one?
Hi there, Sam. A Return to Love is one of those books that feels like it's been waiting for you. Williamson takes A Course in Miracles, which is a dense spiritual text, and makes it feel like a heart-to-heart with a wise friend. The first thing that hit me was her claim that we're not here to fix ourselves, but to remember that we're already love.
That's wild. I wasn't expecting a self-help checklist, and she hits you with the idea that the world we see is a dream. I had to reread that. Wait, I have to ask, what is A Course in Miracles? Is it a religious thing?
It's a spiritual teaching, but it's not tied to any specific religion. Williamson distills it into practical wisdom. She says it's about correcting our perception.
Okay, that helps.
Right.
She says the world of our senses is a projection of fear. It's a collective dream of separation. And the ego is the part of us that keeps that dream alive. It's a false self that thrives on fear.
So the ego isn't just your inner critic, it's more like a whole fake identity?
Exactly. The ego needs you to feel small, vulnerable, alone. It keeps you believing you have to defend yourself, compete, prove your worth. And as long as you're scared, the ego feels necessary.
So then the solution isn't becoming your best self. It's undoing the ego entirely?
Right.
Williamson calls it a spiritual transformation. It starts with a choice to see differently. You can't rearrange external circumstances because those are projections of your inner state. When you shift from fear to love, the whole world shifts with you.
So how do you actually make that shift? Is it just a mental decision?
It's a practice. You start by noticing your fearful thoughts and questioning them. She says you can choose again.
That's a great way to put it. I remember, she says you're not responsible for the thoughts that arise, but you're responsible for which ones you believe. That gave me a lot of comfort.
Yes.
You can witness a fearful thought and ask, "Would I rather be right? Or would I rather be happy?" The ego always wants to be right, even if being right makes you miserable. Love asks you to let go of that attachment.
So then forgiveness, she redefines that completely. It's not condoning bad behavior. It's waking up from the illusion that the offense was real.
That's a huge one. True forgiveness is recognizing that the perceived sin never actually happened, because it only happened in the dream of separation. Holding a grievance keeps you in prison. The other person becomes your jailer. Forgiveness frees you, not because they deserve it, but because you want to be free.
But what about real harm? That felt like a hard sell.
She's not saying you should tolerate abuse. She's saying the people who trigger us are our greatest teachers. Everyone is either an extension of love or a call for love. When someone behaves badly, they're in pain. Seeing past the behavior to the suffering beneath, it lets you respond with compassion instead of judgment.
That reframes relationships too. She talks about special relationships versus holy ones.
Yes, a special relationship is based on need, looking to someone else to complete you. That always collapses. A holy relationship is two people giving to each other, supporting each other's journey home.
So it's about giving, not taking.
Exactly.
And when we see the other person as already whole, we stop trying to extract love from them.
I see that. I've definitely been in special relationships, that needy kind of love.
And she says the way out is to see the other person as already whole, not as someone who completes you.
And the miracles in the title, those aren't supernatural, right?
Right.
A miracle is just a shift in perception from fear to love. It's a correction of the mind, seeing what was always there, but hidden.
That makes sense. And prayer is not about begging God anymore. It's more like aligning yourself with love.
Exactly.
Prayer is opening yourself to receive love that's already there. She says the most powerful prayer is, "Thy will, not mine, be done." It's surrender, not weakness, but trust.
The part that got me was when she says we're responsible for everything that happens to us. I first thought that's victim blaming. But then she defines it as being responsible for our inner state, not for what happened.
It's about reclaiming agency. Blaming others gives away your power. Seeing yourself as a victim traps you. Taking responsibility for your perception means no one else can heal you but you.
That's powerful. But this doesn't mean you let people walk all over you, right?
Right.
She's clear that you can still set boundaries, but you release the resentment. You don't have to keep the person in your heart as an enemy.
She even applies that to the whole world. Global conflict, environmental destruction. They're symptoms of the same disease, which is the belief in separation.
And the only real solution is forgiveness and love. That sounds naive, but she argues it's the most practical thing we've never really tried.
That's a bold claim.
It is, but she's seen it work in her own life and in the lives of countless readers.
So this isn't an easy path, but the hope is that every time we choose love, even for a moment, we weaken the ego.
Right.
It's not about perfection. It's about progress. And God isn't a distant judge. God is the ground of our being. We've never actually left love.
I love that image of God being the ground of our being. That's so freeing. That's beautiful. I think that's why this book has stayed with me. I think the one thing I'm taking away is that the return to love isn't a destination. It's a choice I get to make in every moment, no matter how lost I feel.
And if you want to explore more wisdom like this, the whole library is at 7minutebooks.com/app. It has over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. Ultimately, a return to love reminds us that we are never separate from love, and every moment offers a chance to come home. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.